A very good evening. You're welcome along to tonight's edition of Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. You're welcome along on a damp evening here in the Kingdom to finish out our June programmes for 2026. We were sweating here last week with the heatwave, and this week we're looking for the jacket to get across the road and into studio. But nonetheless, it'll be all sport talk between now and, of course, 8 o'clock this evening. Plenty to talk about and digest after the weekend that was. What a fantastic weekend of football action in the All-Ireland quarterfinals. Of course, Kerry booking their spot in the semi-final against Dublin in 2 weeks' time, thanks to a 225-27 point win over Tyrone. We saw the heroics of Louth, of course, Mayo defeating our near neighbours Cork, and of course Dublin beating Galway as well on a weekend that was very, very hard to predict. We also had a fantastic weekend back at home in the Garvey Super Value County Senior Hurling Championship. We'll be chatting to the lads on the three games that took place over the weekend as well. And of course, next weekend, the Ring of Kerry charity cycle takes to the state, or the roads of Kerry, right across the roads of South Kerry and across the Ring of Kerry, 170 kilometres next Saturday on the Ring of Kerry. We'll chat to a few of those who are going to be braving that and making that huge effort for charity to peddle their way around the Ring of Kerry next Saturday. If you have any comment or anything else to get in after the weekend, you can do so now. Our text lines and comment lines are open. Alan is on sound this evening. Niamh is taking a well-earned break after the game yesterday, so he'll take your calls. 066 712 3666. You can text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300, and if you are further afield, you can email terracetalk@radiokerry.ie, and we keep you up to date with the round of 32 in the World Cup underway with 5 minutes. Brazil and Japan scoreless there in the World Cup, so we'll keep you up to date and what we spot in the television in the background during the next 2 hours or so as well. But into the football chat, we're down a man this evening. Man had a black card, so we'll be down Liam Broston for the week. We wish him well on his well deserved holiday. So John Kennedy and Andrew Moynihan would have to do double the talking to fill the airtime, but no problem this evening filling airtime. Kerry into yet another All-Ireland semi-final as the quest for Sam Maguire, number 40, goes into his final potential 140 minutes with the clash against Dublin in 2 weeks' time. But to review back on the quarter-final first, of course, a big win over Tyrone, a real, real entertaining battle, a real tussle at John Kennedy. Great to see Kerry obviously come out on the right end of it, but my God, what a game of football.
Yeah, Ivan, superb game. You know, we expected a battle from Tyrone, but we didn't expect to be at that level. Mm-hmm. I suppose it was one of the games of the last number of years. Really, it had everything. You know, it was a real battle. Superb second half, and you know, individual scores, some brilliant fielding, the physicality of it. You know, it had everything that you'd need in Gaelic football, and you know, it had everybody in the edge of their seats right to the very end. And you know, we a fantastic game to win. And you know, I suppose you could say that Kerry were going in, and people were saying, you know, after the last number of games, that it was Kerry's to lose, which is a very valid point. But you know, there's every team in the quarter final are there on merit, and this Tyrone team, they have a lot of quality footballers, and I think they shone out at the weekend. Some fantastic individual displays, but it was a game played with real honesty. You know, the intensity was there, and the pace of it, the work rate all over the field, and you know, we had some fantastic individual displays on both sides, and we'll discuss that at length, I suppose, later on. But as a spectacle, for the neutral in particular, but for both sides, it was just end-to-end stuff, went right to the wire, and ultimately, you know, maybe a slice of fortune at the end with the goal. But I suppose the kickouts in the last two kickouts by Shane Murphy were absolutely outstanding, and we'll discuss that again. But great win for Kerry, but a great weekend for the GAA in particular. Three of the four games were top class. You know, the Cork Mayo game maybe a level below, but the rest were it was brilliant football, and a real thumbs up for the new rules.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say that to you, Andrew, at the end of John's there, a real thumbs up for the new rules, and a weekend where you know, I think we were chatting to Joe in the office before we came down and saying of the four games, you know, the four losers could easily have been the four winners. It was that hard to predict, and the majority of the games, say maybe barring Mayo Cork, real good tussles right through right to the very end. So it's a proof in the pudding that the new rules are working and the football is so enjoyable.
100%. I'll definitely put myself out there and say that I got three of the results or predictions wrong this week, and the only one I got right was Kerry. I think I said Kerry by four, so thank you, Armin Heiner, for getting the goal
right at the end.
Making me look well. Thumbs up to new rules. Like we talked about last year's championship and how great that was, this year is nearly outshining that, which is it seemed difficult to do. There's even the whispers of people saying that the football championship is better than the hurling championship for the past 2 years, and imagine telling someone that even 2 or 3 years ago. It's unbelievable to think, and that's not just because Kerry are winning games, it's because we're producing classics week in, week out. And it's important too that we don't get caught up in our GA Plus or Tourwind times or this and that decisions, and embrace what's been two magnificent years of Gaelic football. And thumbs up to Neuros once again at the weekend, just produced absolute magic. Even like what I love now about the new rules is how teams can a lead is never safe, and you can build up a lead very quickly. We look at Dublin when they got the penalty yesterday. Niall Scully got a 2-pointer. That's a 5-point swing in the space of a minute or two. Like, you can get five. Imagine telling someone that you can get 5 points in the space of minutes. So another brilliant weekend of football, and a real battle between Kerry and Tyrone. You might even argue an even better performance given the conditions and given how difficult Tyrone made it for us. So well done to Kerry, a magnificent win, a real dogfight, and into Dublin now in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, into Dublin in 2 weeks' time is right. John, I suppose half time we were looking at it, I suppose it was a 2-point lead for Kerry, but even at that there was kind of nothing in it, and it was the, I suppose Kerry's goal was kind of all that was kind of separating the two sides, that of course no other than David Clifford picked up in that first half as well. You know, that 2-point margin really was about the order of the day, and I know Tyrone nearly drew level towards the end, and that's as close they did to coming back into level, but it just felt like there was always just a kick in between the two teams right throughout.
Yeah, there was very little to choose between them, Ivan. Great battles all over the pitch, you know, and I suppose, you know, when David got the goal, and we'll discuss that, McGeary kicked a massive 2-pointer straight away, like, and you know, that was the game, to swings and roundabouts. Mm-hmm. But David's goal, Pardy, Gavin White, the ball into David, another player wouldn't have won it. Mm-hmm. You know, he was if you were the Tyrone defence, you couldn't probably mark him any tighter. He controlled it and flicked it away, got it away from the opponent, picked it, took his hop, and what a finish.
Bang, yeah.
It was absolutely... Look, we've come to... I was near a Roscommon man, and, you know, he said to me before the game, I went to Croke Park, he said, today to see two players, Kobe McDonald and David Clifford. Mm. And they didn't disappoint. But David is exceptional. And we're so lucky, I suppose. Dylan Gainey, I met a man in waiting for a coffee the last day, and he mentioned young mine, and he said the stats, he's unbelievable. but it has got people talking about the stat that Andrew mentioned, like 13 kicks, 13 scores. You know, he got 8 the last day. Unbelievably. But yeah, the 2 2-pointers, they were top drawer. We're so lucky to have players of that calibre. 119, I think, from the full forward line.
Yep.
I mean, that's incredible. Liam has said here several times, you know, the new rules, it's from 35 metres in, you're going to punish. Mm-hmm. Where you have the 1-1, 119 from a full forward line, you know, and that's fantastic shooting.
Yeah. Dylan Gainey, Andrew, you're a fan of him, as we mentioned, even on the stats side of things as well. But I mean, you look at him scoring 8 points, rightly gave him man of the match as well after the game. But, you know, I think if he was in any other county, he'd be the right star man. He's a star man here, but he's got David Clifford to contend with in the other corner as well. It's just amazing we've got those sorts of players, and Paul Gainey did obviously in between them as well. But, you know, you look at him, you're kind of saying, you know, it'd be a huge out for a footballer of the year, you know, regardless of how Kerry get on towards an All-Ireland victory. But, you know, when you're looking then, you're kind of saying the fact that... that David Clifford and everyone else is up against him. It's just a hard pick of people, but he definitely got his credits after the game Saturday evening.
Without a doubt. And it's just, we keep saying it, how that club championship run with Dingle has benefited him over the last year or so. And he's continued that so much into this year. Yeah, as you said, he's in football of the year contention now, no matter what. And he's pushed that he's pushed that conversion rate to 17 out of 17 now, which is outstanding. 21 points in the championship. And it's not like he's taking taking heart. It's not like he's taking the easy pot shots. 4 2-pointers amongst that two, and the first magnificent ball from one from the kick out, Graham. Just after Tyrone getting a point two, and Graham found Dylan. It was a lovely turn and shoot. The second one, mind you, while Tyrone, I think it pushed us out to a 4-point lead, but I think it was so important that it just kept that buffer between us. Tyrone never levelled it in the second half, and I think you can look back to that 2-pointer, and obviously we can talk about Keith Evans' block. We might get into that later.
Yeah.
Two huge moments in just keeping the lead, and to keep push us out to a 4-point lead just gave us that, it kept them at bay that small bit more, because Tyrone, it just became a shootout against them. Darren McCurry was unmarkable with 10 points, and I think you could look back to Dylan's second 2-pointer as a big moment in just keeping the scoreboard ticking, which is what we had to do.
Yeah, plenty of talking points from the second half. We may as well get straight into them, lads. I suppose John McCurry and Andrew just mentioned him there, 10 points off the bench. You rarely see it. Was going through social media after and kind of aiming towards the Tyrone side of Twitter if I could find it, and I got there eventually after a bit of searching. But you know, there are a lot of them kind of debating whether he should have started the game or not, but the majority saying that he's sort of an impact player off the bench, kind of get him on in that stage when you need a couple of scores. Some compared him to Darren O'Sullivan going back the years. He really made a huge impact off the bench, and Kerry kind of didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah, he's an elusive type of player. He's a superb kicker, great football brain, and you know, he's suffered, I suppose, with injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to the level of fitness, and the confidence drops. He's a confidence player, but you know, when he came on, there was a 2-pointer free, and straight away he put up the hand to go over for it. Like, you know, it was his first touch, and there was never a doubt. But he causes problems. It was interesting in Jack O'Connor's interview, one of the interviews afterwards, that our legs were tiring, and he got a lot of space. And maybe if Kerry look back on it, and they will say that maybe our defence, while the shape was good, we didn't squeeze up on the Tyrone lads. We left a bit of space, and when you leave space for kickers, you'll suffer. We never looked like conceding a goal. To be fair, we had a good structure at the back, but. The kicking from long distance was excellent. Matty Donnelly had a big influence also, you know, a player in the twilight of his career, but what a servant to Tyrone. Kicked, I think, 3 points, you know, Macklehome. But you could go through all the Tyrone team. They've had success at underage level, you know, the Michael McKiernan's at the back looking, the McGeary's and the Niall Devlin's. They're all good footballers, and they have one of the best midfield pairs in the country. These are no bad team. And you know, Malik O'Rourke, in his interview after, I suppose straight after the game, disappointed with a few of the calls, but when he looked back in it, missing the Canavans, McCurry not at full fitness, you know, they're on the upper curve, and they finished the year very positively. And any team that can say they went to the last minute with Kerry and just failed, that's not a bad day out. They'll be disappointed for a few days, but overall, a great finish to the year for Tyrone.
It came out the best out of the four losers, I think, at the weekend.
Yep.
They came out looking the best. It's not like we're giving Tyrone no chance at the weekend, but I think a lot of people at halftime might have thought this is a performance where Kerry can maybe have a good third quarter here and just finish off the game. I thought that Dylan Gainey 2-pointer in the second half might have just pushed on from there, but Tyrone, they didn't read the script, particularly Darren McCurry, and you have to give him absolutely fierce credit. Stalwarts for them stood up. John mentioned Matty Donnelly, Con Kilpatrick. They could have... Owen McElhome, a young player, 20 years of age, had that shot that hit the crossbar, could have just went into the back of the net off the crossbar. It was inches away from an unbelievable upset at the weekend.
Yeah, no, it
an interesting
was.
One, Ivan, was Niall Morgan. They didn't bring him up to kick the freeze. He kicked 145, kicked it wide. That was he carrying some bit of a niggle or a knock or something that he didn't feel confident, because Ethan Jordan missed a few. Yep. While he did well, he missed a few vital ones. That could have been the difference, and they are narrow margins.
Yeah, fine margins. And you talk about inches, and I think we have to mention Keith Evans, a fantastic photograph on Sportsfile as well of it, and a good video going around today on social media with GA as well. What a block, John. And given the circumstances, he, you know, almost slipped and sort of have to just dive and got fingertips on it. And if that score had gone over at that stage, that was the leveller, which would really have had lifted Tyrone at that stage of the game. There's only a couple of minutes left. A huge block down.
Huge. blocked down, and 'twas the manner in which he did it, Ivan, as you said, he kind of slipped, how he wriggled the body around to block it, because McKiernan was giving it with the outside of the boot, and if it left his boot and wasn't blocked, I think 'twas a score. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Keith Evans, it just goes to show again, and we spoke about him last week, you know, the quality and the strength and depth that we have. He was thrown in a cauldron. He mightn't have scored the last day, but that was an invaluable block down, and it shows the work rate that we have, and he has the legs for Croke Park, but that was one of the defining moments of the game.
And Kerry need no reminder of McKernan. He kicked 4-2 pointers against us in the league last year in the first half, so it was nearly to get across like he did. I thought, like, not to talk about my uncle, but I thought it was Seamus Moynihan-esque to get down on that block down. Absolutely superb. And that's two games in a row where Keith Evans has come onto the field and within minutes
made a huge impact. Yeah.
So absolutely fantastic. And that video, Mark Ford, big shout out to that video that's been doing around today. I think it emphasises how brilliant of a block that was. Game winning.
Yeah, no, game winning is right. And it was, you know, Keith Evans, to be fair to him, came through the ranks and, you know, got his education through the league and into the championship. And to be fair to him, he's been really, really impressive. And even now on the big stage in Croke Park, you know, still talking about him, which is great. It's a goal that in the end didn't matter, John, with Armin Heimrich. But the way Kerry executed it was absolutely unbelievable. Kind of hold up play and then, you know, why not go for a chance? There's only about 15 seconds left. And I suppose David's, you know, the eye to see where Aaron Heimrich was, and then just to bring around Niall Morgan and tuck in the most acute angles, just goes through anyone this Kerry team can net the ball as well, which is massive. But it was a great ending for the game, and to see, you know, David running straight over to it, the final whistle and everything, it was a lovely finish.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think delighted for Armin, because, you know, suffered a bit of an injury and had been very consistent throughout. But David, you know, what he does on the ball and off the ball is incredible. But he had the vision at the time. Hold it up, gave it to Armin. I suppose he had the physical power to take the challenge of Morgan. And mm-hmm. it probably helped him in the finishing, that he just rode the tackle, but the way he just dropped it to the foot and in, it was brilliant. And as you said, I suppose when you look back and see David Clifford making a beeline to Armin Heimrich afterwards, it says a lot, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. A picture tells a thousand words.
The players involved too, you, Dermot, Gavin, Shawnee, Armin as well, and David, as well, like, to win the kick-out. Like, David doesn't win many kick-outs for Kerry, but I think he knows himself when to get into that breaking ball. Huge moment at the end of the game. It's the last man Tyrone wanted on the ball in that situation. What composure those six players showed in the last couple of seconds, and a brilliant goal by Armin to top off a brilliant win.
Yeah, and just before we go to the break, one more man I want to mention we haven't mentioned yet is Shane Murphy, and I'm sure Andrew will have the stats for us in a minute, John, but my God, like, every week just seems to be, kickoffs just seem to be getting better and better, and maybe more organised outside in the, you know, outside in the half back line, or wherever you want to call it. But Shane Murphy's accuracy of picking out his men, particularly in that first half, maybe first 50 or 60 minutes of the game, incredible. And you know, such a good shot stopper then as well, as an all-rounder in goal.
Incredible performance. You know, he certainly has come up really to the top table. He was always a great keeper. Came in for a lot of discussion during the year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're comparing to Shane Ryan, an all-star. Certainly, Shane is an all-star now. There's no doubt about it. But I think it's even more incredible, the performance he gave. You know, there was a scare during the warm-up and the kick-around. I didn't see it happening, but people near me were saying, you know, Jack O'Connor was in there, physios was in there, Dr. Finnerty was in there, and, you know, I think they even went to the sub goalie at the time. There was a fear for a few minutes maybe that he mightn't be able to play. But what a performance! Like, you know, the kick outs and the movement, they were inch perfect, and it was a ten out of ten performance. If Dylan hadn't been as good as he was, Shane Murphy was my man of the match.
Yeah, you there know. You go. And you know, rarely say that about a Kerry goalkeeper, Andrew, in Shane Murphy as well. And Joe impressed me. We talk about the accuracy of the kickouts. It was the sort of speed of them as well. It's almost like watching even the game back, it was kind of a case of where the replay was nearly still on for most of them, that we nearly missed a lot of them watching it from home. But it was a case where he was rapid with the getting the ball out, and it was all part of the game plan, obviously.
Yeah, it's up to the broadcasters to catch up to how quick Kerry can get their kick out now. It's fantastic. And so much much pressure Shane was under in the last 10 minutes with Tyrone just staying in the game, and the kickouts were just absolutely superb. Even I think Dylan Casey got one short in the last 5 minutes. I thought that was absolutely superb. How can you get a kickout out that easily in that much pressure? And I think the stat I found was unbelievable. Between winning our own kickouts and Tyrone's kickouts, every starting outfield player for Kerry won a kickout throughout the game. David winning the kickout at the end, solidifying from number 2 to 15, every player won one kickout at least.
There we go.
Absolutely outstanding.
That'll impress your mum getting the coffee, Jack. You won't need the coffee after that one. Hydration break in Houston. It's scoreless between Brazil and Japan midway through the first half. We're midway through the first half here on Terrace Talk, so we'll go for a break. We'll be back with plenty more on Kerry against Tyrone, and obviously looking ahead to the big one, Kerry against Dublin, in 2 weeks after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now, so you're welcome back. Just like that, Houston, they're back over, timed perfectly to the 2026 World Cup. But it's all football at the moment on Terrace Talk. We're with John Kennedy and Andrew Moynihan this evening. We gave Liam Sillin and the Simbin on the black card, so we won't have Liam this week, but still plenty of chatter with the two boys. Plenty of your texts coming in as well. 0833 300 3300 on text or WhatsApp. You can call 066 712 3666, and Alan will send in all those bits and pieces that come in on the phones as well. Good evening, Ivan, and to your panel. Can you discuss with Liam and John and Andrew? And no Liam, but we'll discuss with the lads anyway. We get their views on two instances in Saturday's game. The first, the pulling down of Gavin White on the verge of the square by Tyrone's big midfielders. Anyone that knows the rules would know this was a black and a penalty to be awarded, because if Gavin was not fouled, he would have punched the ball across the square and David Clifford would have done the rest. Let us remember, this midfielder went on to have a big influence on the remainder of the game. And number two, everyone knew that Tyrone would bring on McCurry, which they did on the 44th minute in the second half, who in turn contributed up to 10 points and nearly won the game on his own. Jack, our manager, said after that they had a plan. Well, it did not work. Do the lads think that this was the time to bring in Evan Lou, who was young and with lightning speed, as McCurry had the freedom of the pitch and shut him down? Sean O'Shea was introduced at around that time and made no contribution. And that's again from Michael Brosson in Skibbereen. Thanks, Michael, for listening over across the county bounds, and sorry to for your car side, unfortunately, out of the championship. John, I suppose the first one, that pulling down of Gavin White, it was an interesting incident, all right, because he really got kind of clawed back and on a couple of occasions going in. Would it have warranted a black card, I wonder?
I'm not so sure, Ivan. Do you know, you look it back and looked at it again Saturday night. It was one of those, it could have been given. You know, it wasn't given. And I suppose the one thing about the refereeing over the weekend is that it's the inconsistency. You know, there's so much happening in games, we've spoken about here several times, but you've one ref, you know, look at the game yesterday, black card and a penalty. Mm-hmm. You know, there was two more instances in the Kerry and Tyrone game. Sean O'Brien, the mark. Mm-hmm. Was it a mark brought forward? Colin Kilpatrick, it wasn't brought forward. Yeah. And then the 45, where Dermot got the last touch.
Yeah.
You'd have to say, whatever about the other two now, you know, you have two umpires inside, and I looked back in it at least three times. The umpire was behind the goals,
mm-hmm.
in the middle behind the net. He could not see what was happening. And it's not good enough. You know, it was a break for Kerry. But at this level, that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
You know, 45, these things, you know, we'll say in the middle of the field, a high tackle or something like that, the referees are dealing with those. But it's a physical game, body-to-body stuff. You'll get some of them, you won't get others, they balance out. Yeah. There's no excuse for 45s, or we have Hawkeye for the scores now, and, you know, but I think it was debated in the Sunday game last night. Does the game need referees to be doing the umpires?
It was the one blatant one, wasn't it?
Yes.
45.
Yeah, it was. And to be fair, watching it back, as you said, John, the umpire probably wasn't best positioned, to be totally honest. And it did kind of slice off his boot, so it kind of went out. Like, it almost looked like it had taken a deflection. Now, it was obvious it didn't, watch it on the screen back and stuff on Saturday. But you kind of see where the umpire was in comparison to where the ball ended up going. You could say that might have taken a flip because it went the opposite direction. But yeah, look, again, maybe sort of a thing. Could we get referees to be umpires, especially at the pivotal games at this end of maybe of an inter-county championship, but maybe getting the amount of referees
to be
the
to Paddy Neal and Ivan, he had a very good game overall.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned him yet, so
there'll
just
always be
show.
Few, there'll always be a few decisions, and coming out after the game, mingling with Tyrone supports and that, you know, immediately after it, emotions are high, you know, it was as good for Kerry as it was for Tyrone. No one blaming him, and the intensity of that game, every man is entitled to make a mistake or two.
On the field, maybe it was more maybe people watching at home kind of picked on to a lot of the decisions that mightn't have went Tyrone's way. On the field, it didn't really sense like that, and I think you have to give a small bit of leeway to the referee in that sort of situation, because there was so much happening in that game. The last 10 minutes was impossible to try to keep up with.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was breathless stuff. I texted you, Andrew, about an hour after the game. I said, I haven't caught my breath. It was breathless, especially towards the end. An interesting one from Michael Brosnan on the McCurry as well. And we did kind of mention it, John, that it was sort of a 10 points in play, that, you know, how come he wasn't snuffed out? I know he mentioned that Sean O'Shea came on. Well, that maybe have been a time to introduce Evan Looney a small bit earlier, but I suppose you don't really see these things happening until they have a couple of scores on the board before you can kind of really act, I suppose, in one sense, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt, Ivan. And, you know, I suppose I said about it previously tonight that there was a little, if you were to criticise the Kerry defence, they gave a bit of room, and as a result, they were kicking. McCurry was the main culprit. He was kicking some great scores. You look at the Sean O'Shea one, it was important to get Sean in the field. Mm-hmm. He is not up to the level yet that we expect from Sean. Just a little bit ring rusty, and that game the last day, that'll have brought him on a ton for the semi-final. And we needed Sean on to get into that. You know, I suppose the pass that he gave for a potential goal, Andrew, we spoke about it, it just showed he's just that little bit off. But that will come, there's no doubt.
A couple of time, I mean, this is a man who came on from Portugal in a boot as well, so give Sean O'Shea time, we know what he's well capable of, Andrew.
Absolutely.
Yeah, completely. Like, you saw it with Paddy even, like, we've been saying it here, that Paddy mightn't have been at that 100% level, maybe for your Kildare, Armagh, even the Donegal game, we knew he wasn't fully fit. And the last day, I thought Paddy was back to the sparkling best. So the top players, they need these minutes still just to get them back into the game. And Shawnee was still involved in a lot of positive play. If that ball was just an inch closer to Dingane, it would have been a goal. And even in the end, he stood up to, in our final play of the game, he was one of the men with possession. And so he still takes on that emphasis for himself to get involved into the game. And that's what you want from a leader. And we'd have no fear of Shawnee in a semi-final in 2 weeks' time. He'll relish that to get back into full fitness.
Yeah, and funny enough, John, actually, we mentioned Sean O'Shea and we leave it at this one on him, because it was funny kind of during the league. I remember it was nearly every soccer second game Shawnee had a performance. One game he was kind of, you know, setting everybody up and sort of assisting everybody or whatever else and playing really good football around the pitch, and the next game he was scoring 8 or 10 points. It kind of, he used to nearly go every second game throughout the league, so no doubt that you know, Shawnee would be crucial for us over the next 70 minutes against Dublin, and potentially an All-Ireland final as well once the injury comes 100% right and he's fully fit.
Yeah, Shawnee is one of the top players in the country, there's no doubt about that, and he's vital for Kerry, and that's why getting game time into the legs and getting that confidence back is very important. I think he'd only one shot the last day, Andrew, pulled it wide, but that'll come. He's another 2 weeks of training under his belt now, and getting into Croke Park and getting that valuable, it's invaluable game time. Mm-hmm. Huge.
You mentioned actually, John, there in the week break, and it is interesting, 3 weeks in a row is tough, and to be fair, I think we were chatting off air again up in the office, a few, you know, and rightly so, looking kind of maybe leggy from the 60th minute on, maybe when Tyrone started having their purple patch. It was a lot of football to play, and I know you're saying, okay, Kildare might have been the huge as expected, but they still all played, and most played for the majority of the 70. Then you had a real test against Armagh in Clare. You know, the score in the end was a big win for Kerry, but a huge occasion in Clare last weekend. And then you've got, you know, a game in Croke Park against Tyrone with a high intensity as well. So a week break, I think, well needed by Jack and all the players and the management team to get things right and start out those little niggles for 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, I think it's just what the doctor ordered now, that week of a break, you know, and get things right, get lads fresh again, and hopefully that you know, Gavin White showed, I suppose, the last time when he came on, or when he started actually, that you know, he's really up to the tempo of it now. It takes time to get up to that level, yeah. And I think that's the same with Shawnee and any of the lads carrying in injuries. It's not a case of coming in and turning a switch. You have to build up and get back up to that level.
I know, yeah. The team deserve fierce credit for how they dealt with 3 weeks on the spin, yep, to just D out that victory in the end. And it was mentioned to me by someone in Bracco Bama Flas on the way down that the last week of the hot weather couldn't have been too ideal in terms of recovery, no, just getting lads back to full fitness. So Mike Breen said it after the game, that extra week now of a break will be huge for this Kerry team. So while it was a brilliant performance on Saturday, to get back to the levels of that Armagh performance, we have the ability to get to that against Dublin in 2 weeks time with that extra week break.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think Jim McGuinness said it last week about the kind of the back-to-back games, that they're not doing a huge amount in training. It's more of a kick around, tactical work, all that kind of thing, that there's not the training that we see maybe throughout the league and the winter training not happening at all, that there's very, very little going on inside in training at the moment. Wondering if Sonny Brosnan injured, as he's in the top three forwards in the county. Also asked the panel, was it right to play Shawnee Shea when it's obvious he's not fit, or right, luckily, to get away with a win. Yeah, Tony Brosnan's another one. Again, it's just competition for places, John, really, at this stage, isn't it?
Yeah, Tony, look, he's never let us down when he's come on or when he started. One would have expected him to get game time at the weekend, to be fair. But look, a lot depends on what's happening inside in training, how guys are going. And it's horses for courses on a particular day. And I think, you know, Keith Evans was introduced the last day with a more defensive role in mind. You know, because we had the scoring above, and maybe it was a day for more defensive and to cut down, and which he did, and that block alone was fantastic. So, you know, no, a strange one that he didn't get game time, but you know, you can see what the management were doing, and on another day Tony will be a match winner for us.
Yeah, like Tyrone were coming at us, so it was important to get lads on like Armin in the last couple of minutes, and Tyke Morley came on as well, of course. Mike Breen was forced off injured, and getting Evan Looney onto the field as well, so it just was one of those games, and the unlikely goal score in Armin Heinrich then.
Yeah, it's typical, yeah.
Defensive attack, that's just funny how it works out.
I know Killian Spillane made an entrance as well towards the end of the game, but yeah, no, definitely, and maybe Tony, a good one for semi-final. We need a few scores to maybe dispatch Dublin. Hello Ivan and all the backs and the halfbacks were fairly poor. They kept Tyrone in the game between two pointers and fouling. David Clifford, Dylan Ganey and Paddy Clifford had a great game, and the two boys in the middle of the field, as well as Gavin White, who was running up and down the field all evening. That's from Irish in Tralee. Maybe to say the backs were poor was maybe a bit unfair. I think, to be, you know, it was one of those games, it was sort of end-to-end stuff, and I think a lot of people maybe underestimated the firepower, John, of the Tyrone forward line, and especially maybe McCurry coming on scoring the 10 of those. But just in general, every time Tyrone looked forward, they caused us problems, and not necessarily just being defensively poor, it's just more so that what's coming at you is very, very good as well.
Yeah, the pace and the intensity they play at, and you know, their full forward line, we've spoken about our full forward line, but Michael Holm, Donnelly and Jordan, you know, they're no mean achievers either, and they have scoring potential, and Cassidy and the 40, you know, Shawnee O'Donnell, they're decent. They're you know, they're players on the upper curve. I mean, Donnelly is in the veteran stage now, but these are the guys that have played underage. They've had success against Kerry. They have silverware won already, and you know, it augurs well for the future for Tyrone. And I wouldn't necessarily agree with the comment that our defence was poor. As I said previously, I think maybe we could have stepped up a little bit. We gave that bit of space, and that affords the kicker to score.
And
that's what they did, because, you know, a decent forward and a scoring forward, if he gets a yard, he'll go for it, Andrew. And they went for it and they scored them, you know. And but they had threats all over the field, and they were coming from the middle of the field. Kilpatrick had a massive game, you know. Kieran McGeary coming through, and McKeown and Niall Devlin was doing a man marking behind. So, yeah, you know, they did hurt us. And like Jack has said, maybe that we were just getting that little bit tired, and there was more space there, which was even more important for Tyrone, and they punished us.
Yeah, and we can probably see that in those last 10 minutes as well. Similar one in from Pat in Kilcoman, asked the panel about Kerry defence. I thought we were small but too loose. Dublin forwards are better than Tyrone in my view. That's from Patton Kilcoman, and I think we've touched on that one there. Sean De Bruyne in Fiery says congratulations to Kerry on winning a titanic battle in an exciting and energy sapping encounter where the result was in doubt right up till the end. Great credit due to both teams. While we were served some brilliant football, Tyrone did what Tyrone normally do on big occasions. They turned up in style. A few lucky decisions never go astray in tight games. While referees cannot see everything, how long more must we wait before the GAA employs the judicious of the use of technology? There must be something wrong when television viewers can view a replay of a critical decision within seconds, and this information is not available to the referee. While Kerry were on the right side of a few decisions on Saturday, there were several occasions when this was not the case. In the interest of fairness, no one can argue against correct decisions. Technology would assist officials rather than undermine them. While the split season has many admirers, the current system is extremely demanding both physically and mentally on teams competing in the knockout stages of the championship. This year, Kerry is required to play 4 games in 5 weeks and hopefully one more. Play should be allowed to continue until the ball goes out of play after the hooter has sounded to a maximum of 2 minutes or possibly just 1 minute. And that is from Sean De Bruyne in Fieries. Couple of pieces in that to digest, and we'll go to a break then. John, you've been a mentioner of the sort of VAR sort of system, or just a television, you know, someone to assist the referee in a call that he's can watch somewhere under the big screen, maybe in the hill or something like that, and read the information down to the referee. It doesn't have to be this big thing that we see in soccer these days of running over to a screen and all that, but that use of technology when the cameras are there, probably, you know, you see the couple of decisions maybe get turned over and it could have changed the game in its head then.
Yeah, that's true, Ivan, and I think Sean De Bruyne hit a lot of cards there with his with those comments. Definitely, I think it should be something that the GAA look at, because you know it could benefit Kerry today. It could be against us next week. But you know, in fairness, there's too much work going in. We haven't a clue, I suppose, really what's going in. But the commitment these lads give in every county in Ireland, and when you come to this stage, you know there's no room for error, and you know, and humans. There will be error because the referees, the umpires, the linesmen are unhuman. 30 seconds, have a look, confirm or deny, and off you go. I think it's very important. When Sean made a comment there, the mental stuff, like, this is wearing. You know, you're not alone, are you preparing, but you're preparing mentally. There's game plans. It's not as simple as you leave Tullamore or you leave Dobridge and you're down to Killarney. You leave Killarney, you're going to Croke Park. What goes on in between is massive, and that can be draining. You know, and I think great credit due to the management team and the players, because 3 weeks of intensity, you have to get up to the level every week, and you know I think that they've handled it very, very well, and it's looking good for us, but we have another titanic battle ahead of us.
Yeah, you look at the route to get here now. We've had to travel to Kildare, mind you. We got over the line fairly handy, but the trip away back to Armagh and Killarney, an All-Ireland favourite. Then Tyrone, we all know about Tyrone, and now in 2 weeks' time, Dublin, who are resurgent Dublin. So it's no easy route to an All-Ireland. We said last year was difficult. I think this year trumps that in the route to get to an All-Ireland final. So fierce credit is due to the Kerry team for getting this far, and in 2 weeks' time, another titanic battle awaits.
Yeah, no, most definitely. Right, we'll take another break. That's 43 minutes gone in Houston, and maybe shock scoreline on here, Andrew. Brazil 0 at Japan 1. We know the strength of Japan at these tournaments, but Brazil at one of the near home favourites, if you want to call them that, on that side of the world, trailing Japan heading to halftime there at the World Cup. We'll take a break. Plenty more to come here on Terrace Talk between now and 8 o'clock.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Also, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. A couple more to get through here. And if you've had one bowl first, two out, and play next Saturday, next two out Sunday, that's from Moss. There was a good bit of confusion, John, last night, and Andrew. There was screenshots we were flying around, and it was up on the GAA website because I kind of didn't believe the screenshot. And then I went in, and Kerry was scheduled to play Saturday evening, and then all of a sudden it was Sunday. Now I get what Moss is saying here, that the first game that's pulled out is going to be automatically Saturday, second game Sunday. The GAA won't do that. They'll pick the what they want for TV at different times, and I know it's all on RT, but they want, you know, a certain game on Sunday, a certain game on Saturday. Awful confusion over just the evening, but Either way, it's going to be Dublin on Sunday now at 4 o'clock, which is nice to go back to a bit of tradition as well on the Sunday. We've a lot of Saturday games this year.
Yeah, I think so. And there was a lot of text flying last night, Saturday again, and people complaining. And then I suppose they'll complain anyway. We're Sunday at 4 o'clock. And I think Kerry and Dublin was always going to be Sunday. It's, you know,
it's Sunday written all over, isn't it?
Written all over it, yeah. And you know, it's NRT, so the debate about the coverage has gone now and we move on.
Yeah. It's a cup final as well on the Saturday. Good luck to any Down and Wicklow fans if the Dublin and Kerry game was on that evening.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
so.
Well, I imagine Louth and Mayo will bring a big crowd as well. Like, you hopefully we have two big ones, and I think the Junior All-Ireland final is going to be on before Kerry, so we'd have potentially New York and the US. So always entertaining matches nonetheless. Well done to Jack, players and management, on a great win last Saturday. It was great to see the big Kerry support in the stands. Let's get behind this wonderful team and try to get to Croke Park for the semi-final. The support could make the difference to get Kerry over the line. That's from Katrina listening in at Tralee, and thanks for that. Ivan Tidings in SD says, well done to Kerry. David Clifford 1-7, roll on Kerry in Dublin in 2 weeks' time. I think there's a buzz already coming over the county for that one. Hi Ivan, lads, great game and great game to win. Great game and a great game to win. Tyrone always raised their game for the Kerry jersey. I listened to Game Radio Kerry, great commentary. It was so disappointing to me that a lot of people couldn't watch an RTE. Shame on the GAA. It's so sad for people living like me, living on their own, who can't watch their team in RTE. It's like living back in the 60s with radio only. And that's from Jackie in Listowel, and I'm glad you were tuned our way, Jackie, and delighted to hear you got the coverage through there. And yeah, a bit like as you say, the GAA Plus, I know it's difficult on a lot of people to be able to log in and everything, but you know what, one thing I did take from this week was the amount of clubs putting on you know, the games in the clubhouses and everything else. There was one good side of the GAAC coming together, but lovely to hear you. I got to listen to it on Radio Kerry as well. Someone asking when Ambrose O'Donovan is back. We had to give him, there's people off everywhere this week. I didn't get any time off this week. Yeah, Ambrose at his daughter's wedding in Spain. I think we'll allow him the gap, but no doubt he'll be back in time for the semi-final as well in 2 weeks' time. Lads, what happened to Breno Bjugley that he was dropped? There's a fierce rotation in the Kerry backline, and Jason Foley and Dylan Casey are both the only two permanent members of the defence. Tom O'Sullivan's still out too. Is this a worry in terms of stability in the back six? Thanks and keep up the great work. That's from Stephen in Killarney. Breno Bjugley, we were told, was a back spasm ahead of the game. Gavin White apparently was only told that morning that he was going to be in. Tom O'Sullivan was on the extended panel for the first time this year. But a good point, John, by Stephen, that the back line has seen kind of it being chopped and changed every so often. We've seen that the likes of Jason Foley, Dylan Casey are the two kind of mainstays, but we've seen so many kind of come and go and people drop out of midfield and everything else. It is one thing that it hasn't been solidified all year, but still defensively strong at most points.
Yeah, defensively strong, as we said. But it can be upsetting when you're changing the personnel, even though these guys have been in there long enough. They're accustomed to each other's play and they're accustomed to the game plan. But unfortunately for Brian, you know, having an injury and coming back, and just if it's what we're told is true, it's a back spasm and shouldn't be too bad. Hopefully he'll be back in contention again. But what a deputy to come in, and Gavin White,
All-Star for All-Star, yeah.
What a display he gave, you know, the pace he showed and the surging runs through the defence splitting runs, creating an option for others, being fouled, fantastic for him. And it just goes to show,
couldn't deal with him.
He's back up to the level, which is great.
Yeah.
What are the rules around gum shields? I think they have to be in at all times on the, when the ball's in play. I think you can take them out between that. As far as I know, we won't get into the specifics of it. When do we expect the supporters' trains to be announced? Usually that takes a couple of days by the time they find the carriages that have been parked up in Dublin and find some fella to drive the train up to Dublin. But yeah, I'd imagine the next couple of days you'll be hearing about those. Hello all. While it was great to win for Kerry, one concern for me is the way Kerry defended on Saturday, and they sat very deep and let Tyrone get away with a lot of shots unopposed and got scores from them. 27 points is a big score, and Kerry needed the goals to win. That's from Derek Clune. Could you look to Kerry teams and management? Hopefully they'll beat Dublin with a bit of luck up the Kingdom. That's from Dermot and Margaret Ann. And Timo and Croke Park would take a quarter of the time it takes Hawkeye and Thurles. I would agree there, though. Hawkeye and Thurles, especially in the hurling game, seems to take forever as well for some reason. But yeah, it can kind of slow down the game, but if we get a correct decision in a short amount of time, we'll take it. Before before we look at the Kerry Dublin game after seven, lads, but just to kind of touch on some other events, I suppose, over the weekend, a fantastic weekend of football. We may as well stay with Saturday first, John, and of course Mayo getting the better of our near neighbours Cork. Cork were fancied. It probably didn't stand out as the one of the, you know, the real games of the weekend, as in the real entertainment side of it from the weekend, but nonetheless Mayo got the job done.
Yeah, got the job done. Cork will be very disappointed, I think, Ivan. You know, I think 14 wides to 6 for Mayo, if I'm right. Plenty of chances. But Mayo just, when they needed to get scores, they had, I think, their full forward line again. Dara Byrne in particular, and Kobe, you know, two young lads at each side of Ryan O'Donoghue. That full forward line had great potential. Cork, you know, they didn't perform again. And that's something that we've often said it here, whatever team you're with, and we've all been with teams, it's about producing it and performing on the day. And I suppose the two big games that Cork needed it was in the Munster final against Kerry, and again last Saturday in Croke Park, it just didn't happen. Mayo, you know, they're improving. Andy Moran will be delighted, you know, particularly with performances in Connacht. Inconsistent, but they've come through. Jack Carney playing very well around the middle of the field, and you know, Conor Loftus as well doing a great job in the 40. Jordan Flynn, and I suppose one man we have to mention is Jack Livingston.
Yeah.
You know, incredible in goals. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to believe that this is his first season.
Yeah.
And he's playing like a veteran. Some of the kickouts are excellent. But you know, Mayo, they're in an All Ireland semi-final against Louth. Who'd have said it? And you know, they haven't the same buzz about them for some reason, and maybe that's a good thing from a Mayo point of view.
Under the radar, maybe.
Under the radar.
They often come into these things hyped, and unfortunately for the men from the West, it hasn't worked out for them in Croke Park in a long time, and on the All-Ireland final day. As John mentioned, it'll be themselves up against Louth, Andrew. A fantastic exhibition of football yesterday, and to think Louth were without 15 men for what, the bones of 64 minutes and still come out on top. We've talked in this programme the last couple of weeks about the importance of discipline and keeping all 15 in the pitch, but Lowe just completely threw what we discussed out the window because they just gave an exhibition of how to do it.
Exactly, and it was funny how it kind of worked out. You hear before the game, Rory Bacon out injured from Monaghan, so you're leaning towards Lowe again, and then within 5-10 minutes Sean Callaghan has a red card for Lowe, so now you're going towards Monaghan again to figure it out, because in the new rules, as we all know, with a red card you're supposed the other team are supposed to win the game, but Lowe threw that completely out the window.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. Absolutely superb. And I mentioned to the fantastic bench that they have. Yep. Kieran Byrne, who came on again, as I said, I thought it was a man for primary possession, just to win a couple of kickouts near the end of the game, kicked 3 points, superb points too. Their management the last couple of minutes, they starved Monaghan up possession in the last few minutes of the game, kicked the last couple of scores, defended brilliantly in the last possession of the game. Monaghan didn't really know what to do. Maybe just they're missing Gallagher as well as Rory Began, so maybe just lacked that bit of leadership in the last couple of minutes. But a superb win for Gavin Devlin and Louth. Leinster title last year. I suppose probably disappointing end how their group stage ended in last year's All-Ireland Championship, but now they're into an All-Ireland semi-final for, I think, 1957 is what we heard the last time they were in an All-Ireland semi-final, so yeah. The only way is up for them, and they'll have no fear of Mayo.
Yeah, no, absolutely. John, just a minute left, just want to just discuss, I suppose, the Ulster, or the lack of Ulster football now into the semi-finals. Obviously we've seen the likes of Armagh and Donegal already out of the Championship before this stage. Now we've seen Tyrone and Monaghan, of course, knocked out as well. So no representation in the last four. It's quite rare.
Quite rare. It's a big change. You look at it maybe two ways. The amount of teams in Division 1, really competitive in the league. Then you come into an Ulster Championship and so competitive again. And, you know, it just goes to show that it's, you have to time it. You can't peak for all these games. And, you know, Louth's victory against Monaghan, by Pip Monaghan last week, myself, I thought it was a step too far for Louth. And one incident typified Louth for me was really near the end. Sam Mulroy, there was a ball near the end line. He chipped it with his left leg into his hand.
Yeah,
he turned around, he gave it to Byrne. The former, as his rules guy, two cruciates, a career-threatening ankle injury. He kicked it over the bar. What scenes after? Yeah. That's what 'tis all about. That's 100%. The, I suppose that's the fairy tale of the championship,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it is. And that'll be definitely a semi final to watch. And if you're going for Kerry, maybe go up the night before and get that one as well, because it's going to be two cracking semi finals. As we have to go to news at 7 o'clock, we'll be back with plenty more on Kerry Dublin, the hurling championship, and the Ring of Kerry cycle. Half time in the World Cup, Japan leading Brazil by a goal to nil.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
It's Monday in June, of course, before we tip in to July and into the ends of this All-Ireland series. We're still joined by John Kennedy and Andrew Moynihan. Couldn't not discuss a Kerry against Dublin All-Ireland semi-final. A brilliant draw, John Kennedy, for neutrals and everything else. It's a good test for Jack O'Connor's side, potentially to qualify in for an All-Ireland final as well. And Kerry and Dublin always gets that heartbeat going that bit more as well. It's a great draw, and it'll be a fantastic occasion.
Yeah, fantastic draw, and it'll be a great occasion. And you know, I don't think that form goes out the window when Kerry and Dublin meet. You know, as I said last week, and Andrew, we were discussing this off air, we picked Galway. We felt that they had the strength and depth, and they had the players, particularly the forwards. But the Dubs are rejuvenated since George Brennan came back. Obviously, Brennan, he's a fantastic motivator, and hugely disappointed with the term he got, and very unfair as well. Shouldn't have got that term. But I think that there must have been some hard talking done, because the transformation from 2 games ago to now, mm-hmm. and particularly the weekend, the work rate, the intensity, ferocious tackling. Some of the older statesmen, particularly our the wing forward, Niall Scully, mm-hmm. he played in the 40, you know, Kilkenny, Brian Howard. Like, these guys, they owe nothing to Dublin. They have a bag of All-Ireland medals. But the work rate, and they were 6 down, and probably games can change. And we spoke about this. Shane Welsh was on the run. He was bottled up, a turnover. They got the penalty, like Andrew said, and Niall Scully kicked a 2-pointer. They were back in the game. And, you know, the hill was alive. The hill has been dead for a few months, but is back alive again now. And they will relish a challenge against Kerry. This will be a football game again. And, you know, we have there's some outstanding battles laying ahead. A few injuries for Dublin. You know, how is Nathan Doran, the fullback? He was out for yesterday. Owen Kennedy was in there. Davy Burden was back there. You know, their defence, there's question marks over them. But from 8 up, they're really decent. They have some match winning forwards there. And you know, Basquell is a man that has got a new lease of life. Mm. Kicked a few bad wides against Galway, but kicked a few great scores. So, you know, it's one to whet the appetite, and they'll be almost a full house there, it's a.
Yeah, I can imagine there will. I suppose, Andrew, we'll go back on Dublin first. I suppose the quarter-final victory over Galway yesterday had plenty of talking points. Referee in the middle of it all, unfortunately. A penalty that should have been saved that wasn't, and Dublin going on to win it. A lot of people had tipped Galway, saying that, you know, Dublin were kind of over their peak maybe, but Dublin definitely showing that at the latter stage of the championship they're still a team to be not to be messed with.
Yeah, without a doubt. And like, Galway had a 6-point advantage leading to the last 15 minutes of that game, and Dublin chased that back admirably. Did brilliantly on Galway's kickouts all day. Galway's kickouts, they've been their kind of Achilles heel all season. I think a Galway fan said to me, as long as we can keep away from kickouts, we might get over the line today, but that didn't happen. Dublin 16 of Galway's 31 kickouts, and John mentioned Niall Scully. I think he's also another player in Player of the Year contention at the minute, with the performances that he's been putting in, back to back man of the matches, I think, as well. The momentum's on their side. There's no better team than Dublin when they have a bit of a momentum to pull off a few results, and here we are again. The hill's alive once again. You saw Brian Fenton saying the Jacks are back and giving the big one to the hill at full time yesterday on the Sunday game.
Alive, oh.
I like to see that. But I think Galway, we mentioned that obviously they would have had the 2 week break, and defeating Kildare and Westmead, probably lower opposition to other teams that had to get through to this quarter final. And yesterday was just disappointing. I thought in the first half they were way too ponderous and lateral and never took the game to Dublin, and I thought they really could have got over the line yesterday. It was just a conservative performance, and I think maybe that's one thing Kerry can look at. Kerry won't be conservative in 2 weeks' time. Kerry will take the game to Dublin. Dublin got 125, Kerry got 225. So it's two teams that are going to go hell for leather, and it's one to really look forward to. And I think you could be in for another classic.
Yeah, no, I think another classic, most definitely. John, I suppose on it then, you know, you're looking at the kind of the matchups and everything else, and you know, the how Dublin have kind of come through this. And I suppose we've sort of, I wouldn't say we've written off Dublin ourselves, but I think between the league and that 1 point win over Wicklow in the early stages of the Leinster Championship, we were kind of saying here when we were looking at the provincials that Dublin weren't looking the same as they were, and we were saying there were so many players out and so many players in and kind of taking time to build back up. But what Joe Brennan's done, especially I think since he's come back from his suspension as well, has been, you know, again, a pure sign of Dublin that you can never just write them off. And again, coming into an Ireland semi-final now against Kerry, they are a team not to be messed with.
There's no doubt about that. And, you know, we've said this several times before, when things are going against you, fitness is questioned, performances are questioned. But when you turn it on the flip side, when things are going well, there's not an issue with fitness. You forget about the injuries. And the main thing in any team, I suppose, is to get your marquee and your main players going. And Dublin have done that. I think they're leaders, like, you know, when they need it, the Brian Howells, look, the Padraig Coffigs, the Cormac Costellos, and different games, Basquell. But Conor Callaghan, he's the David Clifford of Dublin. Yeah. You know, he makes things look easy. He takes the right option all the time. He's a superb footballer. There's no question about that. But Kilkenny and Scully, the work rate, the hunger they have to get another medal. And Scully, in his interview last night or after the game, we wouldn't be in here if we didn't think we could win. That said a lot. And, you know, that confidence and what this game will have done for, and to draw Kerry, you know, there's no motivation needed now.
No, absolutely not. And having knocked out Donegal and Galway already in the latter stages of this championship, it really should be a ding-dong battle. Lads, just a couple of comments before we let you head for home. Joe O'Connor's arm was pulled back in the square when going for goal, but no analysis after, along with a sideline ball. The ref wrongly overruled and gave to Tyrone. Decisions went both ways, and it's a good way of looking at it as well. Afternoon, it was evident that the 3 weeks had taken its toll. Our aggressive press were invariably two of White, Mike Breen and Graham. Our position both ahead of Joe and Dearman for kickouts is proactive and fruitful when we win the ball. However, this ploy can leave both wing forwards exposed defensively. Dearman and White were sucked centrally under the Hogan, and this pocket was exposed for four first half Tyrone points. We have a great midfield eight platform. However, Sean O'Brien invariably gets pulled on the 55th minute, sorry, and we lose a primary aerial tackle target thereafter. Also contributed, however, we got an immediate bounces recently when introducing White and Shawnee. We got stability Saturday, but no oomph or injection. Still all in, intelligent game management by all, but in particular by David. Dylan has become key for us, just like with Dingle. The Club All-Ireland win has enhanced his capabilities. That's from Tom in North Kerry. My man of the match again is Shane Murphy. Every restart perfect. That's from John in Castle Gregory. The space we're looking forward to our scores enjoying Croke Park is the same space our defenders have to defend. Can't have your cake and eat it. Best test we could have got, and glad to got through it. That's from Sean in Ballyhaig. How come no Breen O'Bugley the last day? When did he get injured? We had a back spasm ahead of the game. Gavin White apparently only found out that morning. Great win by Kerry Saturday evening, but two incidents dominated the match talk afterwards. The 45 wasn't it? Was there a foot block initially by a Tyrone player, and the midfielder incident, was that accidental or free to Tyrone? Can panel discuss. The Dubs very cocky after beating Galway, might be a banana skin. Evening gents, a fantastic match. This was the best that Kerry got so far. Sending my commiserations to Andrew for Cork not making the semis. Dennis from Kilnamatra on that one, and a couple of more I think to get to know. We got to those already. And this one wants to know when the tickets for the semi final final going and say, I think it's 2 o'clock on Wednesday on that one. And the final one for now, High Odd hotels are very expensive in Dublin due to a Dermot Kennedy concert, so it costs a lot for families to travel and stay overnight. More public transport and options for Kerry people to park in Dublin. Looking forward to the game, Kiribu. And that's from Katrina. John, finally, I suppose, look, before we let you head out the door, what do Kerry, I suppose, need to do now in training over the next 2 weeks to kind of, you know, maybe limit that sort of maybe scoring that they gave away against Tyrone? Again, 27 points, someone pointed out. High number, but obviously the way we've seen the scoring going in Gaelic football now, obviously more scores are being conceded. But what can we work on maybe that we, maybe it's a couple of weeks to be showed maybe against Tyrone in that, or is it a case of, you know, we've been going all right, keep plugging away and we should have enough to beat Dublin?
Yeah, I think that, you know, they'll obviously look at the management team. You know, I saw up in Newbridge, Ivan, firsthand what goes on with the backroom team. I was up in the press box that day and they were in with laptops and analysis and all the stats. It's a huge thing now. It's gone to another level. They will look at this. And we've said here before, up the centre of our defence was open. It's not open anymore. Maybe push up a little bit. We're not doing an awful lot wrong. They'll tweak that, and I've no doubt that Dublin will bring similarities to Tyrone in that they have some great kickers. And I feel that we'll have learned from that display at the weekend. We'll be fresher and we'll be ready for action.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Similar mindset for you, Andrew.
Yeah, it's about getting, like, we know the Dublin team at this stage. You're looking at Con Callaghan, Paddy Small, Cormac Costello, Niall Scully, Kieran Kilkenny and Baskill. We've played these lads before, they've played us before, so it's about getting the matchups right for the next couple of weeks. I think we're saying Jason might take up Con O'Callaghan. I can see Dylan Casey pick up Paddy Small and maybe Paul Murphy on Costello, and on the other side maybe I think Davey Byrne looks like he'll be deputised towards David Clifford, and Paddy will be matched up with Lee Gannon. So getting the matchups right, and as John Kennedy said, just a bit more proactive in terms of defending that 2 point arc, and that could have been a case of the 3 weeks catching up, but I think at times just the last day maybe just a small bit lax in terms of getting back, and you know, particularly McCurry. There's a few McCurries on that Dublin team the next day.
Yeah, no, absolutely, it's a real Kerry versus Dublin rivalry feel about it, and looking forward to getting up to Croke Park as well in 2 weeks time.
One thing, even if I may say, Paul Clancy, you know, what a lovely touch by Galway yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely,
number
John.
Number 10 on the pitch. What a servant to Galway. Win a few All-Irelands. But listening to and some of the common sense. A great community man in his own place. Never forgot where he came from. And, 49 years of age. Too early to go, and we just, and for all the GA people all over the country, and particularly here in Terrastock, our condolences to his wife and family, and to the GA family in Galway. A great person gone, and gone far too soon.
Yeah, well said, John. And lovely scenes in Mike Cullen and stuff over the weekend with the funeral ongoing. It was really nice to see, and it is a touch of class when the GA world does come together to celebrate some of their best. It's really is heartwarming to see, as well as Brazil. Andrew, I was going to talk to you about the miss that they had a couple of minutes ago. I think it's Casemiro, is this?
It was too.
Just after getting the goal. You should have seen the miss they had a minute ago. Japanese header off a Japanese man the line. That hit the goalkeeper. Hit the same Japanese player back on the line again and out. Don't know how they didn't score, but they're back level against Japan. Lads, if anyone knows how to beat Dublin, it's Jack O'Connor. If Dublin can be up for it, Kerry certainly will too. These two tough teams against Northern teams will stand to them. Stand to Kerry, rather. That's from Kay. Question for the boys, who will mark Con O'Callaghan the next day? And finally then, Terrastock, please and thanks to Donny O'Leary for the most enjoyable bus trip, and John King for all they do for us, most appreciated. And that's from a Kerry supporter. Yeah, the Kerry supporters club and the buses and everything, fantastic advocates for Kerry football, and sure to be around our buses again. If you can't get a train or plane or automobile, you'll be able to get the Kerry supporters bus. They're always looking for more and more to head on those buses. Lads, thanks a million. We'll give you next Monday night off. You can come back refreshed, and you can use the writing there you had for the stats. You can type them all out and everything, Andrew, by the time this time 2 weeks come around. And hopefully this night 2 weeks we'll be previewing an All-Ireland senior football final, but a big task against Dublin to come before that. Lads, thanks very much. We'll head for a break and we'll be back with hurling after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Already knows how Brazil haven't gone ahead in this game at the World Cup. shot off a post there. Just again, 9 out of 10 had to hit the post and go in, but somehow it came back out. So that one's still level on the hour mark in Houston. Brazil 1-1. We let you know how that one gets on. I must say well done to the Kerry FC women's side, who beat Drogheda yesterday by 3-1 in Sullivan and Lamb Park above in Drogheda. A hugely historic moment for the club, I suppose, after winning the winning their first game in the Men's FAI Cup in 2023. This was their first ever game in the Women's FAI Cup, and to go on to beat Drogheda by 3-1 in the first round, a huge achievement, especially away from home. And Kingdom away to Bohemians next Saturday, of course, different level altogether with Bohemians. They are, of course, a Premier Division side, but nonetheless, huge well done to Joan Croke and all the girls there. Huge performance away to Drogheda. But it was all hurling action between Friday and Sunday once again here in the Kingdom. The Garvey Super Value County Senior Hurling Championship, the second round of games in the group stage, is now done and dusted. James McCarthy and Mirstad O'Farrón, as always, on to have a chat about the games over the weekend. James, I'll start with you, and we'll go back to Friday night. Abby Dorney 2-2, an impressive win against Crotty O'Neill's. They're starting to motor.
They are. You know, they played well, Ivan, but Quatta really tested them. I think, you know, if Quatta had more firepower, maybe it would have helped them. Barry Mahigan off the half time was a huge loss, Ivan, that game. He had to, like, he was so influential in the first half, you couldn't, he just kind of couldn't underestimate the loss he was in the second half. But the cross of defence I thought in the second half was excellent. Sean Weir and Oisínna Mansell had a brilliant battle all night long, but he just robbed us maybe of a better second half if Barry was there. But look at that, Ivan. Darragh Donoghue went back centre back, did a massive job, I thought, for Crotta. But Crotta took a lot out of that game, though. We didn't know what to expect of Crotta, but I was very impressed to know they were reliant a lot on Jordan Conway for scores, but it was a very good game. But the power of Michael Leary and the finishing of Jack Sheehan and Michael Slattery, that's what really told the day for Abby Dorney.
Can it be tough for Crotta to come in against an Abby Dorney side who, okay, had maybe had a bit of dirty petrol for the first 30 minutes against Tree Parnell's last week, but, you know, kicked on well in the second half and kind of had that game under their belt? For Crotta, they kind of had to sit and wait. Can there be sort of a, the waiting period can't help your kind of case in the build-up? Would you rather get out the first day, or am I just finding an excuse maybe for Crotta?
No, a bit of everything there, Ivo. I said, even you talked to a lot of teams over the weekends, and even a lot of teams that kind of started their campaign like no different to Ballydough yesterday, they're just talking about the timing, Ivan. From when their lads all came back from Kerry to having so much time, not so much time with their clubs, they found it hard to kind of gel everyone back in and put all their players back in together, because it could be likely the first time they've win with them all season. So a lot of teams are like that. So maybe they've been for 2 games in 2 weekends. That has to be good for a team. And like Crotty will be better this weekend now against Parnell's again.
Yeah, no, most definitely. Restart for you, I mean, I think, look, Michael O'Leary had a fantastic game as well, scored a couple of good points, I think 7 in all for him as well for Abby Dorney. I suppose they're coming into, you know, looking as the county champions, kind of coming in as potentially one of the favourites. Have you seen them playing out their 2 group games? Would you be still thinking that line, or is there plenty of teams that could still upset them along the way?
Well, I've said from the start, I think that the 2 best teams in it being neutral would be Abby Dorney and Causeway. I still think there's another county championship in Abby Dorney. I still think they have the firepower. And right up from defence, right up, I think they're a very, very strong side. And again, the last game, they were very, very good. O'Leary, Jack Sheehan has really come into his own as well. Playing great hurling. I would agree with James there, the loss of Barry was massive for Crotta. But they battled hard, you know. And, you know, as James says, they learned from this game. But Abby Dorney are a really, really strong side. You know, they're a well-prepared, well-drilled unit, and they'll be hard to stop this year.
Yeah, no, most definitely. On to Sunday then, Richard, I'll stay with you. I suppose Ballyduff, Lixna, what a finish to the game. Lixna leading 117-113 at one point, and to be beaten 118-117, a right good end, and Kevin Goulding proving the winner in injury time as well. Another cracker in Austin Stack Park, Richard.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, on the first half, I suppose, you know, Shane was very, very good. Ivan went on a few runs as well, but Shane Conway. And, of course, he set up Mikey for the goal. And now there was a strong breeze there, you know, and Lixnaya utilised that. But Baldock came back. I mean, Podge was really good again yesterday. Really, really had some fine hurling. And but yeah, Baldock, you see, that's Baldock. Like, Baldock were never beaten. And I was saying that a couple of weeks ago, people were talking about Baldock, you know, and you know, how good will they be this year? The one thing, you know, they're never beaten. And, you know, always, you know, like yesterday, for example, now, Lixnaya were looking really good. But Baldock kept battling and kept battling. And they got their reward. Lixnaya would be disappointed, but you know, about for a tough side, they're a physical side, and you know, boosted by like the Owen Ross returning and lads like that, did really well, and you know, went right down to the wire, and Baldock got over the line.
Yeah, I think Richard is right there, James. You really can't ever rule out Baldock, can you, at any stage of any hurling competition in this country, in this county. They're just unbelievably well managed. They can kind of come back from any sort of a deficit at any time, can't they?
Dan, you know, I said the strength of their squad showed yesterday, really, because we make no mistake about Ivan, Lixnaya are a better team. Better team all round. They were absolutely... Lixnaya should have won this game, and it's a travesty now if Lixnaya go out on 1 point, which could very easily happen. It's because I've seen it on the last two games. I've been hugely impressed with them. Baldock know themselves. Baldock were poor yesterday. And not because they didn't play. It's because Lixnaya absolutely swallowed them whole. The Lixnaya halfback, now, Jerry McKenna and John Buckley were absolutely superb. Derek Conway was there too. Conor O'Keefe and Podge Wilde. They gave Podge Wilde the man of the match. And Podge himself, he knew him. He knew he had a day's hurling behind him. Because in seven, Conor O'Keefe had a massive battle. Podge always has a bit of cash. He's going to get a few scores. He knew himself. He came out of them after a right battle with Conor O'Keefe all day long. But it was a fabulous game. Like, I thought there's a lot more in Baldock. That's the danger, Ivan. And then the danger, because talking from my point of view, there is a lot more in them. You can see all the raw potential that there is. But they have to gel, Ivan. They didn't gel yesterday properly, and it's now looked like a team, really cohesive unit. And, you know, I know they're relying on Sheehan again, but it would be a real pity if they went out, because I see a lot of potential in that Lixnaya team, as in this Baldock team.
Yeah, no, 100%. And that is the joy of this championship, though, James, isn't it? We always kind of end up losing a big hitter or two in this group stage format and everything else, just the way it's done. And just, you've got nine teams there, and you know, you could potentially argue all nine, and not eight teams are well capable of winning a championship in any given year, could be knocked out in the groups.
That's a fact. You know, you look at it, like, it's a pity. Like, I know that we have these groups, and we have to have one group at this, I suppose, Ivan, even if there's not one in the World Cup, we get one here. But that really did look at the end of some. But there's a real change now for St. Brendan's. I saw it last week in St. Brendan's play, Lixnaya, and you saw it as well, Ivan. When the going got tough, Lixnaya really tore into St. Brendan's. St. Brendan's struggled, because when the hurling was going, the game was fast and lively, St. Brendan's opened up and there were no problems. But can they match the physical guys now better off when it comes down to it? Because that's going to be a real test for him. Because I thought Lixnaya, they manned up brilliantly at the weekend. And like, this is a really physically strong, powerful, fit, Baldock team. But I was really impressed with Lixnaya. But now, can Affert match, if not better, the result? I know then all they have to do now is get a draw, but that's easier said than done against Baldock, Ivan. You know yourself.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. That leaves with Group 2, and we've got what we wanted, a Kilmoyle Ballyhig shootout at the end of the championship. Or sorry, maybe what I wanted at the end of the championship. Richard, I suppose, firstly to you on Ballyhig. I mean, look, a great performance, and coming back into it as well against Causeway to get the draw. It does leave a fantastic battle between the two of you next week.
Absolutely, what a game. You know, as I said at the beginning of the season, you know, I fancy Causeway this year, you know, themselves and Abidjan need to be the top dogs in this competition. With no injuries this year, they are, you know, they have a full complement, and they're going very, very well, you know. And yesterday in the first half, they showed it as well. Again, like against Kilmoyle, great shooting from distance. I mean, look at the points they got from distance. They're absolutely fantastic. But, you know, the start of the second half then, it got worse for us. We, you know, conceded a goal. But it wasn't great the way Ballyhig fought back. A lot of the young lads there really stood up. And we fought back and kept going and kept going. And look, a draw was probably a fair result at the end. But, look, it sets up a really great finale now between Ballyhig and Kilmoyle.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm just feel like I'm the man sitting on top of the fence watching the two of you. I want to go to Osteig Park next week and sit between the two of you for this one. James, I suppose from a Ballyhoy perspective, I mean, it really, really impressive to come from 7 points down, all jokes aside, to claw back against Causeway again as Ristard said, one of the favourites, and you mentioned them already alongside Abidorny as the two favourites for the competition. So really, really impressive from Ballyhoy. And again, we saw that last year, that sort of never say die sort of ash you out of this Ballyhoy side. James, we saw it again, and a tough test for Kilmaine next week.
It really is, and you know, I think the way they finished the game, I think they'd be happier with that, because not because of getting their scores and get back into the game, but they actually got their main players back into the game. So surprising that some of their main players were out of the game so much in the first half. That's partly, of course, due to Causeway being excellent. Causeway, as we started said about their long range shooting, even with the breeze last Sunday, Causeway set up a Paul McGrath half back line. That is solely to play the ball around the middle and shoot from range. And they've done that. My one worry with Causeway, and I've mentioned this to Kilmaine as well, is in the last 15 minutes, for a team like Causeway with the same age profile as Kilmaine, legs went. Legs went, and when Hakala has these, Ballyhoy were getting stronger and stronger and faster and fitter. Causeway seemed to be struggling towards the end of the game. And the panel, it tested their panel to the limit as well, because a lot of guys have given an awful effort into it. But Mike Lean came into the game, and I'm not saying just because we started there. Jamie Foran came into the game. We had Kieran Casey coming into the game. We had Philip Lucid banging points from everywhere. They really got themselves in the right position, because I thought they got it tactically wrong in the first half.
No, absolutely. Next weekend then, Richard, we start with, I suppose, Group 3. That's up on Friday evening. Crotta against Tralee Parnells again. Winner takes all here to finish second in the group. I suppose we saw Parnells do so well against Abidorny in the first half on the opening night of the championship. Unfortunately, fell away in the second half. Do we see enough from Crotta yesterday to say they'll definitely overcome Tralee Parnells, or could we say there could be somewhat of a shock still a possibility in that one on Friday evening?
Well, this year, Crotty should beat Tralee Parnells, and I think that they have the party to do that. We saw the last game against Abidorny. They put up a good battle against Abidorny, albeit that Abidorny are one of the favourites. But Crotty really joined them. And again, the loss of Barry Mahoney was absolutely massive against Abidorny. So I do expect that, I do believe that Parnells will put up a performance. They have a never-say-die attitude. But I think that Crotty's experience will get them through.
Yeah, we've seen, to be fair to Parnells, and last year's draw was Causeway, wasn't it, last year, that you know, they are capable of taking a bit of a scalp. It was just disappointing to see maybe their second half performance against Abidorny, but we wish both sides well ahead of Friday night. The opener then, James, on Sunday, of course, the big one, Ballyhoy against Kilmaine. I suppose, look, again, we'll take the joking aspect of the James versus Ristard out of it. It will be a really, really tricky game for Kilmaine as well, who, you know, you were saying, were struggling against Causeway in that opener as well, and they'd want to lay down a marker, or else they could be out of this championship on Sunday afternoon. So that should be a real, real battle, and I'd imagine very, very little between the two sides.
I think there's always we talk about it in the parish, and people forget, had time to soak in over the last 2 weeks. It was, we can't be as bad again, and that's, we put that out there now. If we're as bad again, we're gone home, and that's it, we're out of the championship, and we deserve to be. There's no way Kilmaine will be as bad again. If we can bring some energy and some life and hurling to this game and really go prove, be everything Kilmaine can be, because our performance against Causeway was everything Kilmaine earns. But then again, you've got to match this Ballyhoy team. They're going to be young and eager, and they've seen a few things from last Sunday, I think, that they will bring to this game. Match yourself with Kilmaine, they'd more hard. Maybe they might even start some of these lads out the next day and see what they do when they come on the last day. It's all these things. It's going to be a huge battle. It's going to be a great battle, because we beat Ballyhoy last year. It'll be tougher to beat them now this year. I know they're down one or two, but it'll be very, very close.
Are you the same viewpoint on that one, Ristard?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing, I suppose, as Jane has mentioned there, I suppose, could it be kicking Kilmaine? That's the thing, you know. They'll be very disappointed with their performance against Causeway. So if there's a kicking Kilmaine next Sunday, you know, it should be a very interesting game. But I will probably go in as favourites on the strong performance against Causeway. But I think that there's more in this Kilmaine team, and I think we're going to have a really tough battle next Sunday.
Yeah, definitely will be an interesting one. James, the final game then the weekend, of course, St Brendan's against Ballyduff at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Ballyduff through into the quarterfinals, or at least already, if not a potentially semi-final, of course. And then you've got St. Brendan's, who'll be looking for a win in that one as well. So it's another interesting battle there, isn't it?
It is, and you kind of wonder what, like you talk about, what way Bella's going to approach this. Already been through, can they rest fellas? Do they want to rest fellas? I don't think they can. You need to gel your team, we talked about it earlier, and that's what they want to do. Jack Goulden's got to get more hurling. Like, Owen Ross has got to get more hurling. They need to put John Curtin on the field. John Curtin has to be on the field from the very start, I think. Adam Segarban was one of their best players last week. Luke Rocher was very good, very influential in the game. Podge, maybe, could they get, afford to give Podge a little bit of a break? Because Podge has had a long season. And like, if he's going to have to carry Bell off all the way through the championship, he needs a break somewhere. And maybe this could be an opportunity to give him some break at some, maybe don't start to, maybe finish him if you have to. But on the St. Brendan side, then, they've got to go at it. They really have got to go at it because they need something out of this game. They know themselves, and it's going to be really interesting. I think Bella will have too much power, but I could be wrong. Maybe Bella, Arford's speed and their technique and their legs might carry them through, but they got to stick to their hurling. Don't get involved in a physical battle.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And of course, Ballyduff will have the motivation, I presume, to, if they can get the win, they could be one of the two that's come out of a lucky hat to get straight into semi-finals, which is important to avoid some of the bigger hitters along the way as well. Enjoy the games next weekend, lads. We also have the All-Ireland hurling semi-finals as well next weekend. So a real feast of hurling next weekend, of course, with the ladies' football in Ostack Park on Saturday. So a real good sporting weekend. Enjoy the local action, lads. Enjoy what's going on in Croke Park as well. And I'm sure we'll catch up next Monday night.
Thanks, Ivan.
No bother. James McCarthy there, Amrishard O'Farrane, of course, looking ahead to next weekend's championship action and reviewing the last weekend's action, of course, with the games that took place in the Garry Supervalue County Senior Hurling Championship. We've the last round of group games next weekend, and it's do or die at this stage for most of those teams there, and we'll see who'll be advancing through to the next round of the championship. As I said, Croke Park, All Ireland Hurling Semi-Finals week next weekend, and a big push for the Kerry Ladies, of course, as well. On a Saturday, 5:15 start for the Kerry Ladies. They take on Meath in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship quarter-final. A 7:15 throw-in to the Nostack Park, and all support very, very much appreciated for the ladies against a Meath side, of course, who Kerry 0-1 over, I think, after the semi-final loss last year, and a team they've met in the quarter-final in the past. And the joys of winning your group, of course, having the home quarter-final, which is huge for Mark Burke and the girls, and like that, we wish them all the very best on Saturday. Again, a 5:15 start here in Tralee. Right, we'll head for a break. Brazil Japan 1-1, 77 minutes on the clock in Houston. Could we be heading for the first period of extra time at this year's World Cup? We'll have to wait and see. We'll keep an eye on that. But up after the break, we'll have some of the competitors, or some of the people who are letting their hair down next Saturday to take on the Ring of Kerry Charity Cycle. And we have them in studio in just a couple of minutes.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Yeah, one all between Brazil and Japan.
And
yes.
I saw the first part of it there.
You're watching this. Cahill is in studio, and the girls as well. The hairdressing crew, I'm told, in for the Ring of Kerry Charity Cycle. Cahill Walsh, PRO. And we've got Siobhan, Brenda and Deirdre here as well. Cahill, it's the countdown is on to Saturday. You must be this time of the week is that sort of thing. I imagine the phone starts getting busier and busier, and people ringing about this, that, and the other thing. But you must be all set to go at this stage.
Yeah, today was one of my busier days. Now there's somebody that didn't get their envelope. That's with their wristband and all the registration thing, and happened to be an American, and the name I was getting wasn't the same I could hear over the phone. But anyway, we got that straightened out. That took a while, but all of those things, and people tend to wait until the last few days. We're waiting for the forecast, and thanks be to God, the sound forecast for the weekend is brilliant, and it's part of the success of the day, how you can cope with the weather. And I think we're lucky this year now with it, and the numbers are, we're going to over 3,000. We don't know how far, because there's 5 days left to register, right up to 12 midnight on Friday. And I'm sure we'll have people on Saturday morning saying, oh, Jay, we were looking at the weather last night and spot on. I think we'll sign up now. But we would hope that we'd have most of them in by 12 midnight on Friday.
Yeah.
And the whole scene in Killarney with the beach road and the mission road closed, and the car park, the big part of the New Street car park will be closed from Thursday night or early Friday morning and Saturday, because that's the Mecca, that's where we all gather. We have music lined up for the day, and there's a big game in Croke Park, of which I have big interest in. My county are playing Cork, and we're going to have the big screen down there. We're going to have entertainment and the finish line, and I'm looking forward to these three ladies here with me coming across the finish line, and I'll be interviewing them, and we'll present them with their medal and all of that, and we'll be feeding the cyclists three times during the course of the day, and they must remember that there's always somebody behind them, and it's not a race. Your cycle and whatever charity you're cycling for, even at this late stage, register number one, go to visit this website, set up an I Donate page for your chosen charity, and pedal around at your ease, because you have from 6 o'clock official time, some are going before official time, right up to the close of the car park at 8 o'clock that night. Plenty of time. That's 14 hours. And if you don't do the cycle in 14 hours, you're certainly not.
No pressure, girls.
No pressure. So these girls have trained hard. And I'd like to highlight those people rather than the role that I have. But it's very important to let people know the road closures. They're up
absolutely
on the website,
yeah,
as well. And people will be discommoded a bit in Killarney, because the Cathedral car park will be used in lieu of the fact that we're taking up the large part of the New Street car park.
Yeah, yeah, this is always a busy town, and every weekend there seems to be something on, but important to get that kind of connection, right, I suppose, yeah, Cahill, yeah, with the locals, and, yeah, and all the way around. I suppose you'd recommend anyone who may be out living on the Ring of Kerry, or maybe out planning to drive the Ring of Kerry, maybe to give the girls a beep when they're going past, and all
that's
the cyclists.
True.
It's nice to get the people out, I suppose, and support, yeah, the cyclists when they're coming,
yeah,
past.
And it's wonderful. I've seen it myself. Now, I did it before a health issue came up, but I did it 19 years. The people on the road giving you a round of applause as you pass, offering you water, offering you bananas, you know, all those things. That's part of it. And this thing, as I said, it's not a race, and people have time for you. And I see, looking at the entries, there's a group of about 20 Americans coming over.
Oh.
We have every county in Ireland is represented. There's cyclists coming from the 32 counties, and it's an international event, but it's a charity event, not a sportive. We want people that cycle, we want them to fundraise for their chosen charity.
Yeah, I know, it's a great initiative. And how many years is it running now?
This is 44 now, and I have a long association with it, more than half my life, and something I'm very proud of,
yeah,
and passionate about it, because it's a wonderful event. Over 21 million raised, and a lot of it for Kerry charities and some national charities, and all wonderful charities. If I was asked what charity would I cycle for this year, you could pick any one of them and justify your selection. But the main thing is people get up on the bike, fundraise, and get around safe and sound, and we'll give them a rousing welcome back by the side of the plaza on Saturday evening.
Absolutely, and great to have everyone back safe and sound. For it's not a sport, but it's a great sporting feast to cycle 170 kilometres. You know, everyone kind of amateur cyclists, we see,
yeah,
Tour de France stages that long and everything, yeah, else, but to be able to do it in a day in the middle of the summer, it is great. I'm just conscious we have to go to a break, so what we'll do is take the break, Alan, and what we'll do is when we come back, we'll chat to the three girls about their chosen charity and how their training has gone over the last couple of weeks.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now you're welcome back to the programme. We've spoken to Cahill, and now we're going to talk to the three hairdressers who I'm told are going to have a cut at the Ring of Kerry, according to Cahill. I've robbed that one off you now, Cahill, so apologies for that. Siobhan Hanrahan from My Van, Brenda O'Brien from Listroy, and Deirdre Leahy from Carisveen, all hairdressers, and coming together to do the Ring of Cycle. Siobhan, I'll start with you first. We go around in a circle. Talk to me a small bit about getting everyone together. I know Deirdre has a story when we get towards the end, but the motivation to go off and do the Ring of Kerry cycle, because it's not the easiest feat in the world to do on a Saturday in July, is it?
No, it's not. Well, it's nice to get the day off work, but
rare for a hairdresser, to be fair, isn't it?
But do you know what? We always kind of said, well, I always said I'd like to do it, and then we kind of said it in the salon, and then sure, we used to talk about a lot of things, but then we started saying, are we actually going to do it? And then I was like, well, I better get a bike first and then see how that goes. And then we started to go on training. And then I joined we used to go off on our own. And then I joined the Clarny Cycling Group, which were great because I learned loads of little tips from them. And next thing we know, we were signing up for the ring. And here we are a few days to go. And hopefully it'll all work out for us with all our training.
Absolutely. Brenda, I suppose on that, in the training, I mean, what kind of goes into it? I mean, it's obviously hard to find the time and everything else. So is the case kind of you get out after work of some evenings, or how did it work out for the last couple of months?
Well, I suppose, yeah, you take your opportunity, you take the time when it comes mm-hmm. to being able to get out, try whenever you can. I also had the turbo at home, because I have a 5-month-old baby at home. So wow. Getting out with the girls was a little bit tricky for me.
Of course.
But yeah, getting on the turbo, and I have to thank my partner who put the bike on and off the turbo. I was like upstairs, downstairs at home for a long time. But yeah, like with Siobhan, I joined the Clarny Cycling Group, who I have to thank David O'Sullivan from Clarny Cycling Shop. Sullivan Cycles,
yeah.
He actually recommended it to me because I couldn't even get on the bike properly the first day he met me. He said, girl, you need to get into the Clarny Cycling Group. So, yeah, he hooked us up that way. And, yeah, we haven't looked back. And I think it's safe to say, I don't think this is going to be our last time. It's our first time, but I think this is going to become a habit and an annual thing, because we've definitely caught the bug. And the excitement around it has been fantastic, and the donations have been amazing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Deirdre, I hear you're the one that kind of gathered them all together. You might tell me a small bit, maybe the story behind what charity you're doing it for and why you're doing it for them.
Well, first it started off with, we were at work last year, the day of the ring, and Siobhan said to me, do you know what, I'd like to do this. And I said, do you know what, we'll do it next year. And here we are. And well, we decided then that we'd go for the palliative care, because unfortunately my dad passed away nearly 3 years coming this October, and unfortunately, you know, we had to go to the palliative care, and they were just amazing. It's an incredible place when you go in, and the nurses and the doctors, and it's just the care they get. It's just, you'd be speechless, really. You know, the nurses are angels, really, inside there, and you just feel, you know, it's so important to gather every penny and to support them, you know, because I think it's needed.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. And it does kind of get you motivated, Deirdre, as well, to kind of go out and, absolutely, you know, do the training and everything, when you're doing it for something that, you know, so close to your heart.
100%, and that's it. And I says, there was mornings I got up at 6 o'clock and I go out on the bike, and if I thought I was going to get lazy, I just think of the palliative care and just say, come on, you're doing this for a charity. And yeah, so it's great. No, and our fundraising is going fantastic, and we'd like to thank all the people so far that has donated online, and we have a bucket in the salon, in Salon B in Killarney, and they're all just fantastic. Our customers are all donating, so, and hopefully we'll get more. Yeah,
and they won't be able to get a haircut on Saturday, unfortunately. Their hair dyed, or
no.
There must be no weddings on in Clarity on Saturday, is there? Siobhan, I suppose, and back to that training, I know Liam was telling me you should chat to you, you're up and down Miles Gap and everything on the bikes already. We're used to go up and down that in rally cars, Cahill, but you're up and down it on the bike, so it's plenty of training got in. So obviously, just, I suppose, eagerly anticipating Saturday now coming around. Is a few sleepless nights, maybe?
Yeah, you get a little bit nervous, I suppose, towards it, in case you feel like you're not going to be good enough or whatever, and then you're afraid to do too much in case you get injured. But no, definitely have enjoyed all the nights out cycling, and you know, you kind of make new friends through it, and it's just seeing the views on the bike. It's actually really nice, and it's kind of a wind down too, and you feel great after when it's done.
Yeah.
But no, I've enjoyed it, and it's great, really. And it's like, especially when we're raising money for palliative care and all that, Kerry Hospice. So it's great, like, when you see the funds coming in and it's all for a good cause and everything. No, it's very enjoyable, and definitely I feel we could be at it again.
That's great to say before you even go out to do it. 170 kilometres, Brenda, it's lengthy, isn't it? Like, you know, look at it on paper and everything else, and we see the ring of Kerry, and it's usually a day out for us going out, maybe showing our American cousins around the ring of Kerry or whatever else, just to cycle it. But when you put in the train, I'd imagine kind of the three of you being together and the groups, the over 3,000 cyclists doing it, you'd all kind of put yourselves through on the day, I'd imagine.
This is it. We're in it together. Like, we started as three, then we joined the Clarny Cycling Group, and there's going to be many more on the day, and it's going to carry us through the atmosphere, the people that will be cheering us on from town to town, and we'll take it in stages, and we're just going to enjoy the day and focus on all the good that's going to come out in such on such an event.
Yeah.
And yeah, really looking forward to it and so grateful to all the support.
Absolutely. I'm sure there'll be a few cocktails and sneem or something.
There will, if worst case scenario happens, anyway. We'll be celebrating after.
Deirdre, before we finish up, I suppose just for yourselves, obviously there's so many people doing it for different charities, but as Cos had kind of setting up I Donate pages, can we find, and obviously you want to pop into the salon in Clarny, maybe someone listening wants to donate, or is there links on kind of Facebook and that kind of thing?
Well, we have a link on our Salon B page as well, and on our Facebook and Instagram pages, and we have our bucket in the salon. Yeah, and for sure. And it's just to encourage people, if they're at home thinking about doing the ring at any stage, do you know what, just book in and just go, even if it's next year, and just pick your charity. It's amazing, you know, it just gets you by, I think, having a charity. It's great to
focus.
Yeah,
and a great way to focus the mind, Deirdre, as well. Great advocates for the cycle, Colin, and so many people have different reasons for doing it, but you definitely brought some of the three of the best in this evening. Fair play to you.
Oh, that's true, and I'm modelling the cycle jersey as well, and they're one of the charities that we may not know a whole lot about. They're called Rise and Shine. They used to be the Irish Pilgrimage Trust. They bring special people to Lourdes every Easter. Mm-hmm. I've been there twice with them. It's a wonderful experience. It's a wonderful way of supporting them, and the sale of all those jerseys that I model goes to the Rise and Shine.
Fabulous.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful charity.
Absolutely. And as we're just out of time, but still plenty of time for people to sign up, they can check it out, Ring of Kerry, online on the web and everything else, and on Facebook. Thanks very much, Colin, for coming in. Thanks to yourselves. Best of luck. Hopefully we'll see you back in Clarny Saturday evening for a drink somewhere. And look, the best of luck, and you'll take it in your stride. I can see you have the motivation in you. So well done, and best wishes for doing it, girls.
Thanks very much.
No bother, Colin, at all. And thanks very much for everybody this evening, to Leo, or to John and Andrew, for looking at the Kerry game, to the hurling lads, James and Mustard, Alan, who did sound tonight in place of Niamh, who was on a well-deserved holiday this evening, and Mary Conroy's up next with Talk to Us, and we talk to you again next Monday evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.